Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Friday, October 14th. Today, we're visiting with Michelle Madrid, a guest journalist who is with the Colorado Sun via the International Center for Journalists. Before we begin, a quick message. Join the Colorado Sun for an in-person U.S. Senate candidate forum focusing on mental health. Senator Michael Bennett and candidate Joe O'Day will answer questions on October 18th at 10 a.m. Registration is free, but space is limited. Visit coloradosun.com/events for more information. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Governor Roy Romer cut a ribbon inside the Hidden Lake Tunnel in Garfield County on this day in 1992, marking the completion of Interstate 70 in Colorado. Romer compared Glenwood Canyon's highway design to the skills of the Aztec Empire, while federal officials declared it, quote, the most difficult project in the interstate system and a capstone achievement for the United States. After World War II, engineers advocated controlled access highways to manage traffic and promote city development and expansion. Federal officials approved a network of roads without intersections in 1956. In Colorado, plans included a route paralleling the eastern slope of the Rocky Mountains, one extending from Denver out to Kansas, and a link down the South Platte River to a transcontinental highway across Nebraska. Federal planners intended I-70 to end at Denver, but resentful Coloradans lobbied President Dwight D. Eisenhower, a frequent visitor, to intervene and order an extension. Business groups, like Club 20, lobbied for an innovative tiered design in Glenwood Canyon, while environmentalists objected to irreparable damage to the landscape. Even the Colorado Historical Society helped negotiate to protect the Georgetown Loop. The ceremony in October 1992 reflected this collaboration. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you today. And today I'm super excited because we are visiting with a guest journalist here who's with the Colorado Sun through the rest of October. And we're going to talk to Michelle Madrid, who is from Honduras, and she is here through a nonprofit journalist program called ICFJ, and it's the International Center for Journalists. And if you go to icfj.org, you can learn about the International Center for Journalists. And their mission essentially is to empower a global network of journalists to produce news reports that lead to better governments, stronger economies, and more vibrant societies and healthier lives in their home countries. And so, Michelle, welcome.
Well, thanks for the invitation. I didn't expect this.
Well, I appreciate you being willing to talk to us because I do think it's important for our listeners and our readers to understand what goes into independent journalism, not just in the United States, but in our hemisphere and all over the globe. And ICFJ is part of that. And I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about your journalist career in Honduras and other jobs that you've had, and how you got to the Colorado Sun this fall.
My career as a journalist started in 2017 when I got a job in the mass media called La Prensa. It's one of the most important medias in my country. I was with them till 2020, and then I have to change my path and start working in an advertising agency. And well, the funny fact of this is that my first application was sent to ICFJ when I was working at La Prensa. But then this year, I was with a friend that still works as a journalist, and she reminded me that ICFJ was running the program again and that I should send my application. So I sent it I wasn't so full of hopes because I was working in an advertising agency by the time. So I sent it and, well, they liked my project. And when they called me, I couldn't believe it. So here I am with you trying to get the most of this.
And hopefully we all here at the Colorado Sun and other people that you are meeting in the United States, you said you've been to Washington, D.C. prior to coming to Colorado, and I want you to talk about that in a moment. But you also said that ICFJ, you know, approved your project and granted you to be a fellow with their nonprofit. And again, one of their missions at ICFJ is to create more vibrant societies and healthier lives. And from what you and I have talked about before, your project really centers around developing a podcast to empower young women in Honduras. Can you tell us a little bit about what that project is and how you want to do it?
I'm here to learn how to produce a podcast and to make it sustainable so I can get back to Honduras and start working in this podcast by my own. I have to do it by my own.
And that's a huge mission. And I think you were telling me that the city that you live in is about 1.5 million people, maybe a little bit more. So you, if you take these skills, and I know you're learning a little bit about podcasting here, you're also going to meet next week with our production partners, Pirate Audio. You're going to meet with Denver Community Media, which has a community podcast studio here at 21st and Arapaho. So hopefully you can pick up some of these skills. And then one of the things also is maybe you are able to make connections here in the United States who can support you and help you, not just financially support you, but help you with the skills to do this work back in your home country.
Since I got here, I had all the people, you, the Colorado Sun, wants to really give me the tools. I still have to meet a lot of people, and hopefully this visit to the United States and this embedment, it's going to rendir frutos.
When you get back to Honduras, I think you mentioned to me that in order to make your podcast sustainable, there are hopefully some NGOs that you can get funding from. But this is just you doing this by yourself. How do you see this growing and getting larger in the future?
At first, it's going to be hard. But, you know, once you start and you keep going, you don't get frustrated because, I mean, when you start something, there's always difficulties. I think I have the connections. I have friends that works in this field. It's going to be just connections and try to get to the right people, to the right NGOs, to make the podcast grow. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, I can't tell you, like, with a spreadsheet, I'm going to start here.
Right.
But right now it's just learn about how to do it. I know how to launch the whole idea. And then it's me trying to, you know, keep the pace. If I said I'm going to make the first season of, because make the first season of 4 episodes, and I just had to, I'm brainstorming by my own about the topics I have to talk in the first season. So once I start, I will have a more clear path.
You also indicated that you have other colleagues or friends in Honduras who have gone through the ICFJ that are working on actual projects now in Honduras. Can you tell us maybe a little bit about them, or if there's a network of those journalists that can help encourage you as well?
Well, I have Dunia Orellana. She's working right now with Reporta Sin Miedo. And right now she has this outlet that helps people to spread news and to talk about crimes against LGBTQ+ community. So she's like a living proof that you put in practice everything you learn. In Tegucigalpa is another fellow, Mario Serna, if I'm correct, that has Honduras Reporta, and they have fact-checking. They try to fight against fake news, and he's very oriented in like political things and things that most of the media try to manipulate. I hope that I can be like them at some point.
And you will. And it sounds like those are two amazing projects. And like you said, really proof that folks who come out of fellowships with this program are able to really take projects back to their home countries and meet the mission of developing a more vibrant society and healthier lives and better government. So thank you for sitting with us today and introducing yourself to our listeners. I also want to thank everyone else who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners, Pirate Audio. And have a wonderful day out there. If anyone has questions or thoughts about the Daily Sun Up podcast, I invite you to drop an email at podcast@coloradosun.com. And I sincerely hope you can join us for the next episode.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Starting next year, campers headed to some of the popular spots in the Maroon Bells Snowmass Wilderness will have to reserve and pay for a permit. The U.S. Forest Service is implementing a reservation fee system in 2023 to try to limit use and protect areas that are getting overrun, including the Four Pass Loop, Geneva Lake, and Capitol Lake. Since 2006, the number of hikers visiting these areas has quadrupled, according to the Forest Service. Rangers are packing out hundreds of pounds of trash each year. Dangerous interactions between humans and wildlife are reported often, and people are damaging trees. The Colorado Sun's voter guide is live, and we are publishing information on each of the 11 ballot initiatives. One of those is a proposition that would legalize growing and using psilocybin. Proposition 122 would make psychedelic mushrooms legal and allow licensed facilities to use plant-based psychedelics in Colorado. Proponents support broadening access to what is considered a breakthrough treatment for anxiety and depression by a growing number of researchers. But a segment of the psychedelic community says they don't want the government telling them how to work. Xcel Energy is launching a $32.8 million plan for low-income projects that includes more access to community solar gardens and a first-time battery storage incentive. The plan is being hailed as a rare consensus by environmental groups and consumer advocates. The Renewable Plan is Xcel's customer-facing program and provides credits for rooftop solar installations, community solar panels built by third parties, and now battery storage credits. The company's previous renewable program was criticized for failing to bid enough community solar sites and for failing to reach lower-income residents who could qualify for credits. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Before we go, we encourage you to check out a new podcast from our friends at KUNC called The Colorado Dream. Here's a sneak peek.
The new season of The Colorado Dream explores the Black immigrant experience in Aurora. It's told through the eyes of one African woman.
I would sit on the beach and just daydream about coming to America.
And the city of Aurora that's working to become an inclusive home for all.
In the last 20 years, we have a new face of the city.
I'm Stephanie Daniel. Join me for The Colorado Dream, Newcomers Welcome. You can find the series at KUNC.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of The Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.